28 and catching again the understanding of this commission. As I said before, we have a responsibility, and what we're learning is essential for discipleship. It's essential. There are probably some things in life you can probably take a shortcut on. I would imagine there might be a few of them, but not in discipleship development. And that may be part of the problem with the present day church, is that there have been too many shortcuts taken. We're oftentimes trying to find a way to comfort and coddle the people, when what we ought to do is challenge them and confront them, that they would know that this way of Christ is the way of Christ and not the way of man. And so let's look again, and there are two things we need to ask ourselves as we go a little further. Last week, a couple of weeks ago at least, I asked you to write down three things, and you really need to keep working, because that's where you're comfortable at. Those three little things that you wrote have to become tied in, woven into how you go about being a discipleship developer. When God made you a disciple, and I pray that that's your understanding, then your responsibility as a commissioned worker, as a commissioned disciple, is to make more disciples. So there are two things you need to be able to address as you look at your own list, and we're going to talk about some more things, and we've talked about a lot of things. But there are two things that you really need to address. One is you have to answer this question. Am I a co-laborer, collaborator, or am I a source of conflict? Am I a co-laborer? Am I a collaborator? Am I part of what God is doing? Am I doing what God called me to do? Or am I a source of conflict? How many of you ever gone into a restaurant, stood there while you're waiting to get your table, and kind of observed the way things are going, the hostess moving around and that kind of stuff, and you say to yourself, I don't want her to wait on me? Or you go into a place and you see what's happening, and you're in a store, and you look at the cashier's attitude, and you say, I'm not going through that line. And some of us have had that situation where it started out somewhat all right, but then you say, you know what, can you get me somebody else? Some of us have walked out of a restaurant or walked out of a place of business, a movie theater or whatever, because of the person that was serving us. Some of us put a dress back on the rack. Well, ladies, I hope no men didn't do that. But mostly ladies. But, some of us have put stuff back. Said no. Or we've even asked the person, I hope you don't work on commission. And so what we have to ask ourselves, and this is a part of, and I gave you these a long time ago, but I told you there are three things that have to happen in your life. You have to address your critics. Somebody needs to tell you, you ain't all that, so you can want to be a little better. You have to deal with the confrontation that are going to come. One is, because I told you a long time ago, you have an adversary. The devil don't like you. And if anybody's going to come after you, because that's his thing, he's good at his commission. He is an accuser of the brethren. And then you have to face the challenges. Again, a lot of our disciples, potential disciples, just don't want to face this challenge. This is really what God is saying to us. God, it's a challenge. And I'll give you an example. When Jesus goes out to the sea, and the disciples have been out before their disciples, but they've been out fishing, they're tired, they come in, they're washing their nets, get ready to go home. The first thing he does is challenge them. He says, go back out there. And they answer, saying, Lord, we've been out there all night. This is what we do. And we weren't successful with it. They're not saying we won't come back tomorrow, but they're saying we're not going back out there this morning. And he challenges them. And most of us don't like challenges. That's why some of us will never grow beyond being average, because we won't accept the challenge. Somebody told us a long time ago that we had it going on, or that we had arrived, and we felt like we just settled down right there. We good. Somebody told us, just go to church, and we thought that's going to be good. Somebody told us, do this, and we said, oh, that's just good. And God never said that. God never said that he wasn't going to challenge you. That's what brings out the best in you. Somebody said to you, oh, you all right, but. You say, what do you mean, but? challenge you. And so you have to answer that question. Am I a co-laborer and a collaborator, or am I a source of conflict? Because the conflict comes in when you're not doing what he said do. How many of you have been on your job and somebody said, you ain't got to do that? Somebody else tell you, oh, you work too hard. You're making us look bad. That's a conflict. And the most of us, if we're not careful, we'll be consumed by conflicts. That's when people start saying, well, I ain't going to church no more. Every time I turn around, it's something. It's too much of a conflict. And we would rather stay away from conflict, because conflict is the first cousin of confrontation and challenge. So we said, no, I'm not going to do that. And so what we have to realize, John comes to the Lord one time and says, Lord, we saw other people who are not in our group doing things. And he said, I got other folk. It's good. As long as they're doing the kingdom work, it's fine. But the question has to be addressed. You cannot be casual in this commission work. Any of y'all ever worked on commission? What happens if you casual in commission work? You don't make no money. The kingdom's not going to grow. Too many of our disciples are just casual about this commission. Matthew 28 was not there just because Jesus had to say something before he left. This is the Jesus is saying, I'm leaving now, but here's what you got to know. How many of you all have ever left your children at home and gave them that final speech before you went out the door? That's the speech. You get just and say, oh, by the way, when I leave here, blah, 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 blah. Okay, y'all got me? Yeah, okay. And out the door you go. Everybody in this church can read or understand this commission. Everybody. And everybody who can read ought to at least be equipped with the tools to work the commission. When I was in school, every one of my teachers, again, I don't know what happened, but when you dotted their door, they did an equipment check. When you came to geography, you brought a geography book. When you went to your math class, you brought your math book. And one year, our dear principal, Mr. Epstein, stood up and said, the reason we give you wall lockers is so you can get your books. You don't have to carry all of them. When you go into another class, you go by your locker, get that book, and go to your next class. Poof, made good sense to me. You know, when you first go to senior high school, junior high school, we didn't have wall lockers in elementary school. So they tell you what you got wall lockers for. He said it's not to store junk. It's so you can get your books and change equipment as you go to your different classes. And the same thing applies to going to church. Everybody who goes to church ought to have a Bible. That's the book. And nowadays that we got smartphones and I see children this big with smartphones. Put a Bible app on it. If they can do YouTube and Snapchat and Pinterest and all that, it ought to have a Bible app on it. And when you come to the place to learn, you ought to look like you in the environment of learning, that you have an interest in learning. You're not going to learn the commission if you don't learn the commission. And again, this is what God is saying to everybody, to all of us. Every one of us. Am I a collaborator and a co-laborer, or am I a source of conflict? Again, I told you this story before, but when my children, when I first pastored my first church, the ladies would tell my children, you ain't got to put that much money in church. I gave my kids, you know, a couple of dollars to put in Sunday school. Don't put all that. Put a dime in. A dime. Grown folk putting a dime. And my kids came back and said, Daddy, that lady say, we don't have to put our whole dollar in Sunday school. I said, what lady? And they pointed out to me, and I said, ma'am, don't tell my children that. Don't nobody else around here do that, Brim. We just don't want them to spend all their money in church. This was my chairman of deacons' wife. So then I realized why my Sunday school offering was $12 and $13. With grown folks sitting there. A dime? You can't buy nothing for a dime. This is this was 1991. A dime in the Lord's house? Nothing should rattle in God's house. A dime. And then we had people telling you don't have to come every Sunday. That's a source of conflict. That's not the agenda of the ministry. We never stood up before the people and said, well, listen, as long as you come by every now and then. You can't work for nobody like that. No, you can't work for anybody like that. You know, there's a movement afoot where some companies or some businesses have 4-hour work weeks, or they tried some different, you know, formula for working. But the reality is, when you're supposed to be there, you're supposed to be there. There's an expectation. And so when we look at what God is saying to us, we have to ask ourselves, when Jesus went out there and told them, go back out there, that's a challenge. They understood their most recent failure. But you have to accept the challenge. Or they could have got an attitude and said, who are you? Mind you, and this is the really cool part of it. This is Jesus' early ministry. No real reputation, no real standing, but you know him. You know who he is. You know what he's all about. How can we not answer him when he challenges us? Because to every challenge, he is your co-laborer. To everything that Jesus ever pushes us toward, he is our source. Try me and see. And so when he talks to us like that, there are three things now that you need to realize that happens when you take on this commission, when you understand the challenge that is before you. There are three things that you need to notice from these guys. First of all, Jesus grabs our attention. If the Lord ain't got your attention, I don't know what you're looking at. We need to have Matthew 28 up there, guys. He grabs our attention. If the Lord ain't got your attention by now, I don't know what your focus is. I don't know where your faith lies. I don't even know what kind of future you got. Because apart from him, you still got nothing. That does not go away in the modern church, millennial or no millennial. He grabbed their attention. Everything else around them became not important. Don't miss that. Those of you who drive, Mrs. Brody works at the DMV, she'll tell you that one of the things that they look for when they give you the driving test is whether or not you pay attention, whether or not you are acclimating yourself with your surroundings. When you're driving, you're supposed to be driving. There's a Ford commercial. Again, I take things too personal sometimes. Deacon Walker, I get a little upset. Every time that commercial come on, I figured out what to do now. I just mute it. Because there's a scene where these parents are teaching their children how to drive. And one little scene, there's a guy backing out. And another scene, and somebody walk. You know, there's a mama. And there's two ladies and there's one guy. And the last scene, the guy is driving. His daughter's driving. And somebody is getting ready to back out. And he said, you did see that, did you? And then she got the nerve to go, don't freak out on me. I would have snatched her up out of that car. That'd been the last. They ain't going to talk to me like that. I'm trying to make sure you see what I see. You know, he said, you did see them, didn't you? And she got the nerve to throw her little hands. Don't freak out on me. Oh, Jesus, she'd have never drove another day. Because she'd been walking around like this. Because I'd have broke both her arms. No, I just have a problem with people smarting off at me. And you know, the reality is, there are some things people do just to test you. Because if she'll say that to me today, what's she going to say tomorrow? So, you know, I get a little upset about that. But you got to pay attention to what's around you. When you're driving, you're driving. Again, Ms. Brody might be able to help you with statistics, but it's a proven fact that most accidents happen due to driver inattention. We texting. They got a little thing now, I saw on the news the other night, where you can rat on people. You can take a picture of them if you see them texting and you're supposed to send. Well, that's another distraction. So you ride along now, you're going to take a picture of somebody So that means you're not watching the road either. Both of y'all going to run into each other. I was at Home Depot the other day, coming out the parking lot, and I'm sitting there watching. This guy turning left from where I am. I was behind him. There's a guy on the other side getting ready to turn right. And I said to myself, watch these bucket heads run into each other. Because the traffic was backing up, you know, and I kept watching, boy, somebody's going to run into each other. And the guy in front of me kept inching. The light wasn't green yet. And I said, as soon as that light turned green, this bucket head going to take off, and that guy going to run into him. And did I not predict it? I'm a prophet. I saw it coming. And that day, I said to myself, all they had to do was look at each other. Attention. God's trying to grab our attention. We are looking at all the wrong things. Even in here right now, I've been watching two or three of y'all, and y'all ain't paying me no attention. I ain't going to call your name because I don't want to start no trouble. But I got people who ain't paying me. I've been standing right here in front of you. This is the purpose for which we've come, to hear our pastor give us something from God. And got three people ain't paying me no attention whatsoever. How are you going to learn anything if you won't pay attention? I learned a long time ago, if there's somewhere I don't want to be, that's not where I'm going. But when you come to a learning environment, you got to be ready to learn. And you got to listen. And you got to be willing to accept the fact that I'm learning something I did not know. He grabs their attention. Second thing he does is he challenges their ambition. They were willing to go home with nothing. He got their attention now. And now he challenges their ambition by saying, go back. Drop the net again. You got to want something, guys. They were willing to go home and say, you know what, we're done. And we do that Sunday after Sunday, Thursday after Thursday. We have no ambition toward this commission. As Miss Price said, she works on, well, Deacon Walker owns a business. Miss Price works on commission. If you don't get customers, if you don't do something, you're going to go broke. You're not going to be able to feed your family. You're not going, I mean, I'm not trying to predict anything. But same thing with your commission. If you don't walk out there and say, hi, can I help you? Is there something you're looking for? Is there something I can show you? You have to be ambitious. That's why we advertise. Signs all over the place. And if you're not ambitious, you are not going to fulfill that commission. I said it last week, and a couple people got mad at me, Sister Walker, because I said we're lazy. We're not ambitious. If anything, we just average, and we're not even getting, you know, it's a shame, and let me go and say this. It's a tragedy when we are only a church by name only. So that's all we are. We just got a name church. We're not doing church. We're not doing church. We just got a name. And that name has, God's not getting our attention by that name. We're not ambitious about that name. Because if we really cared about what we were doing, we would be ambitious. That's how you keep your business afloat. That's how you keep your job. You can't just sit at your desk and wait on somebody to come and give you your next assignment. You've got to be busy. You've got to make sure that you work while you have the light of day. When your supervisor walks in, that's not the only time you can work. You got to be ambitious. He said, go back out there. And when you drop the net, you don't drop it and let it go. You hold on to it. You're just throwing it in the water ain't the answer. Now you got to be expecting that my ambitions are going to be rewarded. I need to feel the tug. You know, you fishermen know that. You don't just throw the line in the water and don't pay attention to it. You got to keep, I've seen people go fishing, which is really cool. I'm not that kind of fisherman. But they have like four different poles in the water. They got their little thing where they put it in the ground. And they watch all of them. And whichever one shows some sign, that's when they go get, it gets their attention. They don't stop looking at the other ones either. And they'll spin there and spin. But you got to be ambitious. You go to catch fish because you want to catch fish. You feel a commission because you want to feel a commission. Either you co-laborer and collaborator or you're a source of conflict. There are people who don't want their church to grow. And them outsiders, all these people just showing up. That's a conflict. And if the conflict is because your concerns are not his concerns, you need to work that out. What do you mean, Pastor? When because we want you to learn and come to Bible study, that takes you away from your business or takes you away from your little thing. No, you need to work that out, because if God ain't first, your life is out of order. Thank you. I appreciate those amens. You got to be ambitious. He says, listen, go. No. Go mean go. It don't mean stay. How many have been at the traffic light and it turned green and people don't go quick? You know, at first you say, I'm going to give them a second. They don't get to, then you say, you know, I sure hate to do this. Because you know if you blow the horn, it might cause some conflict. But you say to yourself, well, if I don't, we ain't going, that's conflict anyway. So if I'm going to be maladjusted, they might as well be maladjusted too. Honk! You know, and people in front of you always do this. And you always go, amen. Well, if you can honk at people when they're light green, why don't you honk at some of these lazy disciples around here and tell them we're running out of time. We need to be moving. You ain't moving. You sitting in the same place you've been sitting for the last 10 years. You ain't moved. You ain't brought nobody. You ain't talking to nobody. You ain't giving no different. You ain't serving no different. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You ain't your praise ain't been elevated. Deacon Walker, I know he likes the Redskins. He know I like the Cowboys. I know he's been to a game or two. I know he likes the Cavaliers. He knows I like the Seminoles. He's been to a game or two. A little while back, I asked him, I said, did you go to the game? He said, I'm tired of seeing them lose, Pastor. So he just said, I ain't going to. But now Rudy is going. Because Rudy is a Cavalier no matter what happened. But after a while, you start saying, you know what? Come on, what's it all about? And then until somebody else comes along that's a little more fanatical and a little more encouraging. And see, our problem is we wind up hanging around the same kind of deadbeats that we are. We'll look at somebody and say, do you come on Thursday? No, I don't go. Me neither. That ain't the person you need to talk to. You need to talk to the person that goes, and then you and that person need to go to that person and say, listen, we go, you need to come. We're unequally yoked. That's like if half of your painter showed up with painting tools and the other half with none. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to bring up bad memories. But I mean, so they can't do no work for you. They're not helping your company. That's a conflict. Because now your representation is being tainted. You send people on a job and you send six painters and four of them are working hard and two or three of them, the homeowner notices they just drinking sodas, eating sandwiches. And when you come to them, they say, listen, you know, them four guys, they're fine, but them two right there, don't send them back. You know why? They're not ambitious. How many of you have been around people who take 30 minutes to start working? That's a conflict, isn't it? You go to your little station, and you know, I told you all this story before. Again, Miss Brody smiled at me when I said, I still don't understand that system of now serving F321 when I see two people up there with nobody. I'm thinking as soon as that person leaves, that thing ought to click, now serving F322 at window number 9. Because ain't nobody at window number 9. And every now and then, I want to just walk in there, excuse me, since you ain't got nobody, can you do this for me right quick? I see them, and then I think some of y'all little agents be procrastinating, be sitting there like they doing something. I don't know how that system works. See, Miss Brody, give me the, no, you don't get it, Reverend. I'm saying you got inside information, but I'm telling you now that I think I can run DMV a little better. Because I would be standing there with a little stick, and soon as somebody leave your window, I go, sir, right here. Because that little man y'all got, I'm going to hit him in the head with the little white shirt on. Sir, you don't work for DMV. Anybody ask you to tell nobody what to do when they come in here? You're the security guy. Do your job. Get your flashlight. Put some batteries in it. Here's the reality. He challenges them to become ambitious. Now, again, look at the commission. This is going to take some ambitious people right here. And if ever now here's what you need to understand. Everybody in a boat did the same thing. When he said, go back out there, everybody with a boat went back out there. When they dropped the nets, everybody dropped the net. There has to be a uniformity a sense of unity, a sense of unequivocal participation in order for us to meet with this ambitious challenge. If we want to grow a church, it's going to take a whole church to grow the church. We can't just say, well, we want the deacons to do this or the trustees. That's everybody. See how y'all looking at me? See how y'all looking at me? That's conflict. When I was in the military, one thing I enjoyed about being a sergeant and on that platform is I knew that I got your attention. And I knew that I got your cooperation. I knew that you're going to comply or you're going to suffer. You couldn't sit in that auditorium and go, no, drill sergeant. The answer is always yes. When we said on your feet, everybody got up. Amen. And see, in the body of Christ, Jesus challenges their ambition. He gets their attention, grabs their attention. Because when they come back, here's this guy standing on the sideline, on the shore, teaching. That's odd. Nobody teaches there. And if you read the story, you'll see they pulled up in their boats and they started listening too. He got their attention. And as I said to you a few minutes ago, it ain't really changed too much. Deacon Anderson, I mentioned to them that I'm standing here teaching and three people wasn't paying me no mind. And you know, in the military, that's a moment there. You can use that. But you can't call people out in the church because they get offended. But you want to stay, if you want to stay off the offended list, get on the compliance list. When you go to learn. I know what's happening. I know what time it is. The young folks say, I know what time it is. When I went to school, I knew between the hours that I was there and the time I got back on the Yellowhound what was required of me. When I went to PE, they had a rule back in there. Some of y'all looked like y'all were violators. That when you went to PE, you had to dress out. Not dressing out is an indicator that you're not just, and we had a lot of folks wouldn't dress out. You know, body shy and all that kind of thing, whatever it was. But that was the rule when I was in high school. When you went to PE, you went straight to the locker room and dressed out. When you came outside and the coach, we had most coaches taught PE back when I was in school, start calling the roll, if you wasn't dressed out, they told you to go sit over there. And they had an interim coach or some trainee who would go deal with all of the non-compliance people. And what they usually made them do was just walk around the gym. They spent a whole 50 minutes walking around when you could have been outside playing and having a ball. I didn't get that. You go to gym and you won't dress out. Or people who come to class and put their head on the desk. You know, I had teachers that was their answer. You don't want to do it, just put your head on the desk. This ain't no nap time. Then I had some teachers say, listen, if you ain't going to work in my class, get out. Mr. Walker, who patrolled the halls, when he caught you in the hallway, he said, what are you doing out here? She put me out of class. Come on with me. Then you wind up raking, sweeping. Yeah, because they're going to find something for you to do. See how y'all looking at me? But now let me try something like that. I ain't going back up there. He ain't going to talk to me like that. Well, if you're not going to let me talk to you in psalms and hymns and spiritual words, then let me talk to you another way. Let me get your attention like I can. Because the reality is, the church is dying and it's self-inflicted death because we're not interested enough to even save our own sons and daughters, our own brothers and sisters. We just look at them. But when they die, we want the best funeral. Reminisce my cousin. I wanted you to do it because I know you'll do a good job. I don't know him. God don't either. He grabbed their attention. See how y'all looking at me? He calls them to be ambitious. He said, put them nets back out there. And then the third thing he does, and this is critical, is that he calls them to an alliance. He said, come on, be one with me. Part of the commission is for us to be able to bring people into this alliance. A spirit of unity. That's an alliance. We're one together. All of us are in this, the body, the hand, the foot, the lung. All of it's an alliance. And within that alliance, he requires of them full agreement. I hope y'all writing these down. Full agreement. You will notice that once they came into this alliance, they never argued with him. They didn't swell up on him. They never left him. Judas, up to the last day, hung in there just like everybody else. Everywhere they went, Judas went. Everything they did, Judas did. There was an agreement. If you're going to go with me, you're going to do what I do. That's part of the commission. When he sent them out in pairs, I'm sure that Jesus was strategic. He sent folk who probably got along with each other, so they could agree. They said, look, what do you think we're going to do? Well, let's do this. You cannot, watch this. You will never have a sense of agreement if you don't talk to people. You need to know their agenda. What you here for? What you come for? You know, if we do it when you go again. I'll use DMV. When you go there, they ask you, what can we do for you? And they give you a ticket. I figured that part out. Your ticket speaks to what the F's are today and the A's are today and the B's are all pretty much there for the same. So if you sit next to F221 and you F335 and you sell them other F's, you know it's a whole lot of folk here doing the same thing I'm doing. Now, if you go in there and you're the only, and they're now serving B1, you know you're the first B customer of the day. And ain't nobody else got no B's. You know, hey, I'm next. But you got to know what we're here for. And so when you talk to me and say, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing this, that, and other. You will also understand that if there is no sense of agreement, there's a source of aggravation. Because we ain't doing the same thing. Now we're going to become alienated, which is a contrary thing to the alliance. And there are too many alienations in the church because we don't have an agreement. We're not on the same agenda. If everybody in this church understood, go ye therefore and make disciples, I'll take care of the baptizing. My pastor, you say, you bring them, I'll baptize them. But if everybody ain't on the same agenda, if we're not ambitious about this, we're going to stay like this. If God doesn't have our attention, if we're not, you know, we always look for them signs. If folk ain't nodding at you, and kind of looking at you curious, if when you move back and forth, you know, they taught you this on the thing, how to walk back and forth. That's how you know who's looking at you. That's why we don't stand still very much. We want to see if your head move. Because if you're doing like this, your head ain't moving. And we got some good sleepers around here. I would not leave my king-size bed to come sit on a pew and go to sleep. My bed is far more comfortable than this pew. So if you don't have their attention, if folk ain't paying you no attention, you know, then teaching. You know how to look at students. You know who getting it. Because people who, when you get their attention, they become ambitious. How many of y'all became Kirby salesmen and Amway and Tupperware? They got your attention. Excuse me. And you knew if you don't move this stuff, you got to be ambitious. So you got up that morning and made all them little tuna sandwiches, cut them in quarters, spread your potato chips out just so. Got your fruit punch just right. You had to be ambitious. You couldn't wait till 7:30 when you're hosting the party to get ready for the party. You had to be ready so when people came, you could serve. You could peddle your wares. You could make the environment conducive. Y'all ain't talking to me. We can't wait till people show up to make the environment ready to receive, folks. We got to work on it now. We practice and practice. We make sure this is right and that is right. And we say, listen, we know what we're going to offer when they come. And we put something in reserve just in case. We make sure the right greeter is at the door. We make sure the right deacon is leading our prayer service. We make sure the right, yeah, see, y'all ain't talking to me. It's about ambition. Did you get their attention initially? Now what is their ambition? Then you have to look at, are they a part of the alliance? Do they want what we want? I can't be the only one who want this church to grow. We got to all have the same agenda. And then we have to realize if we're in the alliance, the agenda doesn't change. I don't get to change the agenda. I comply with the agenda. We tweak it a little bit. And then we make sure we're in agreement. Okay, this is what we're going to do, right? Break. We don't even talk to each other. each other. We can't get folk to come to a prayer meeting. That's where we start working on things. Listen, when I hear what people praying about, I know what they're thinking about. Rarely do I hear anybody pray, Lord, send us disciples. Lord, show us where to go. It's all about, Lord, bless my children. Lord, give me this. We're not even looking at the commission. We're selfish. Yeah, everybody? Yeah, there he go again. Because that's the reality. That's the confrontation we need. We need a confrontation. We can't tell you that we're going to pass you if you can't pass. We ain't going to just pencil whoop your commission. We're going to look at your numbers. As I said last week, we just lazy. Anybody in the room, you don't have to raise your hand, but just answer it for yourself. If you've been in this ministry more than 6 months, how many people have you brought since you've been here? You've been here. You know, one reason I went in the military is because other folk told me about the military. They used to do a thing at my high school that they would bring back the previous class to talk to the next class. That's how you knew what kind of job you wanted. It was part of the career day, pre-planning career day, because the big career day was down at the Coliseum. I preached about that a few weeks ago. But what they would do is they would ask previous senior class, come back and tell the new senior class what the job market is like and what kind of work I do. And it was the in-house career day. And so the guy that you saw last year who was on, you know, you were a junior, he was a senior, he comes back and said, I work for Prudential. I'm in insurance, and this is what my, you know, high school education. Or the ones that went to college, they get them to come back. And they stand there and say, well, I'm in college my freshman year, and man, you know, listen to what they're telling you, because all that stuff that I ignored, I wish, you know. And so you say, okay. And what you hope happens is eventually you build a cohort. You know, cohort, that's our language. A cadre. And you have a system that can keep repeating itself. That's why since 1775, the Army is still the Army. The Navy is still the Navy. Because they build a cohort. People who become trainers are people who were well trained. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me. So we can't build a ministry, we can't grow the church if we can't train anybody. If ain't nobody trained, who gonna train? Got to be careful if we don't understand the agreement. Again, the agreement is I surrender, I submit. Why? I'm a soldier, subject, and servant. This is what you agreed to. We don't have to sign nothing. Jesus already did all the signing. See, the difference between a people that lack ambition and a people that are ambitious is that we fulfill rather than fail. This is what failure looks like. A fulfilled church is a full church. It tithes. It worships. Remember, the first cultivating act we talked about was praise, because that's an easy one. That's an easy one. And I said last week, when I came back the week after the praise week, I thought we'd have more praise, and we missed something. So last week, we talked about purpose, and we missed something. So today, we'll talk about position. Hope we don't miss something. But that's how you do it. He said, listen, this is what we're supposed to be doing. And if we're not doing that, then we are killing our own works. That's cutting off the nose to spite our face. Three things have to happen when you begin to understand the commission. One is you have to work in your environment. He didn't tell them to come out the water. He sent them back in the water. You have to work in your environment. Pay attention to what I'm saying. In your environment. Deacon Anderson's environment might be a little different than Deacon McKenzie's. Rudy's environment might be a little different than my environment. But that's where you go to work at, in your environment. Because if we put you in a strange environment, now you're uncomfortable. You're unconnected. You don't know anybody there. How many of you ever been somewhere and felt alone? Because you didn't know nobody. So you kind of, you know, find you a little safe place. And so he says, go back in the environment you're accustomed to. Then he causes them to evolve based on engagement. That's how you do it. You got to engage. You're not going to evolve. Our church will never become different if we don't engage. That's how you grow. You evolve based on the level of your engagement. If If you don't engage, we don't evolve. Think about it. How many, you know, I know you've worked in recruiting before, but if you work in a job where your responsibility is to bring in people and nobody comes, you think you're going to keep that job? They're paying you X amount of dollars a year to bring, and they probably sat down in the big meeting and said, this is the number, this is our objective, this is our goal. And Deacon McKenzie and I and Pat sat down the other night, and we made a goal. We said we need 50 disciples. In the next 9 months, we need 50 disciples. Brother Jesse, I'm good, I'm about to say 50. That's not too ambitious. Look how many of us in here. If we just did one-on-one, we more than halfway there. If everybody in the room right now just said, well, shucks, I ain't going to get 50, but I'll get my one. I got 3 amens, 2 head bobs. I'm serious, church. This is crazy. It's too easy. It's right in front of us. It's been there all the time. That's like a person who stands in the refrigerator and says there ain't nothing in here to eat. Yes, it is. You just don't want to get involved. You just don't want to do the work that's going to take to get a meal. And it amazes me that we expect to evolve with lack of engagement. They're not going to just come. You didn't just show up. Think about how you came into the body of Christ. Now, some of us, we came since we were like this and we have no choice. But some of us who came later, somebody said something to us about a church. Somebody said something to us about the ministry. Then we said, well, okay. You know, I'll go with you one time. And then left you, man, that's all right, man. Them folk were nice. There's a lady, Miss Shepherd. God, I wish some of y'all would come to Bible study. She's a Caucasian woman. She came with Vicky, I think, initially. And the other night she told me, she said, I love you. You have got my attention. She said, I need this. She said, you don't know. Man, that made me feel so good. We had 8 people at Bible study Thursday. 8 people. 8 people. But that lady made me feel like going on. She said, I needed this. I'm so glad they told me that you were here. You know how many of our disciples look me in my face and never say thank you? Never say, Pastor, keep going. That lady made a difference for me Thursday night. And we got disciples who never come to Bible study. So how are you going to evolve? How are we going to, if we don't say something about this ministry, if we don't go out as messengers with an ambitious agenda, that 50 is a good number. But it's got to take an ambitious people who understand, one, we are in agreement with our pastor that we got to evolve. 2, I understand the agenda. I understand the assignment. I understand that my agreement, my compliance is necessary in order that we do this work. And again, then he said, I'm a part of the alliance. I'm a team member. Some of us in fraternities or sororities or other organizations, we're identified by that. And if we're not going to be compliant, we need to leave. Get out. You know, I've been invited to a lot of things, and I said, nah, I don't think I want to do that. Do a little research, you know, you look into it. But if I'm not going to really get into it and enjoy it, I'm not going to belabor myself with something I ain't got to do. And then there must be expansion. When you evolve, you got to expand. That's why he told them, go to all the nations. See that? Go to all the nations. Don't just stay here in Galilee or Jerusalem. Don't make this thing small. Make it big. That's why the army is everywhere. The Navy, the Marine. We, you know, the other day when they were talking about the ship steaming toward the sea, I said to myself, we got submarines you can't see. Don't think the only ships we got, the ones you can see. We got submarines that can stay underwater for years at a time. Fool yourself if you want to, Kim Jong-un. You want to reach out and touch? We can play that game. We can accidentally blow up more stuff than they intentionally try to aim at. And that's just from when I was in the military. Who knows what they're doing now? But don't think the church gonna grow if you don't have some sense of involvement in whether or not we evolve. I thought about your son. James started coming here way, way back. Don't know who brought him, how he showed up. I think he came with a rise initially. But James knew, somewhere in the back of his mind, all the other clutter that was going on with James, he knew, I can go back there and I can get it. You know, I talked to him a couple times. He said, Pastor, ain't nothing like Brookville. It ain't got nothing to do with me, really. That's a little bit. But I realized this is the God thing. This ain't mine. I don't even want it. I don't want it. It's his. I'll be a servant, but I don't want to be the owner. Don't want the responsibility. But there has to be some sense of expansion, because if you don't expand, you actually die. Because everything around you will crush you. If everything else grows and you don't, you die. You become the runt. And so we have to understand, first, God is not trying to take us out of our environment. Nothing says you have to quit your fraternity or organization, but use that place and then start to take that ministry of what really matters to you to the people that matter to you. If you want an airplane sitting with your daughter and you know three wide seats and something happened, the first person you're going to pay attention to is your daughter. Because she matters to you. Once you take care of her, then you might help a stranger. But the people that matter to us, that's why charity begins at home and spread. The people that matter to you are who you minister to first. Our husbands, wives, sons, and daughters ought to know that we are servants of the Most High God. They may not know we are part of certain organizations. Okay, that's fine. But this is the center of our life. What we are in Christ is everything. How do we know that? In him, we live, we move. It don't say that about M.A. Dalton Paint. It doesn't say that about when you were employed at the college. It doesn't say that about Danville Regional. It doesn't say that about it. The only thing in your whole life that is your whole life is in him. You can do without a job. Amen. You can. Trust me. A lot of people do it. That's why the unemployment rate is as it is. Now, some of you who are ambitious say to yourself, no, Reverend. Amen. When I said that, Jennifer turned around and told Susan, I don't know who he's talking about. I don't know where his money come from, but I need my job. That's my point. If you can be defensive about the fact that you need, how about being defensive about what he needs? He needs disciples. If you can be ambitious about keeping your job, how about being ambitious about keeping the kingdom? See how quiet everybody getting now? Now we're sitting there going, darn, I set myself up for that one. But that's the reality of it, saints. God's not trying to take you away from anything. He's trying to give you more. Here's what he said. Mark me if I'm wrong. He said, I know they got life. But I've come that they might have life more abundantly. So do your thing, boo-boo. Go ahead and work with it. But don't miss out on expanding that. Because when you become greater in the kingdom, you get a better wife out the deal. You get a better husband out the deal. You get a better choir out the deal. You get better ushers out the deal. You get a better mom out the deal. You get a better sister-in-law out the deal. Y'all see how this works? Don't nobody want to be around a bunch of sour pusses, a bunch of derelicts, people who lack good hygiene, people who don't have no goals. They just weighing you down. You know, when you do the old, everybody brings something to the party, and you always got that one person who talks, I ain't know what to bring, but eat up everything. Everybody else brought their little covered dish. May not have been as good as it, you know, and all, you know, you always know people who bring something, say, it didn't turn out quite like I wanted, but I just, you know, y'all let me know what y'all think. It was all right. And then y'all get, child, I was going to bring, but I ain't bring nothing. But every time you see them, they got another paper plate. And then had a nerve to get on the cleanup committee. You know, he's letting this stuff go to waste, child. I take it on home and get Herbert a plate. That's how we treat the church. We just want to consume and consume and then complain about the lack of presentation when you didn't bring nothing to present. Ain't nobody here. Ain't nobody this. But what you doing about that? I've always been the guy who, if they missing something, I said, man, let me run to the store. I mean, I don't want to be around a party that ain't got enough chicken. I said, well, what we lacking? I said, I'll go get it. You know, we had our little reunion last year with the military folk, and we ordered stuff, you know, and there was a group. Everybody's supposed to do something. So for the reception, there was four people supposed to make sure the reception was spot on. Reception was supposed to start at 6 p.m. I went down there like a good sergeant at 5:30. I'm looking in the reception room. You know, we had a little hired bar person. They over there setting up their stuff. I went and says, so you seen anybody in here? He said, no, you the first one I've seen. I said, okay. Whipped out my little cell phone, called the person who pulled me in charge of that because I was on the committee. I said, hey, where the stuff? Oh, Leroy, I meant to call you. He said, no one ever somebody say I meant to call you. This about to go real bad. I said, call me for what? Man, I couldn't get nobody to help me. And you know, man, by the time my flight got in, I said, are you serious? So what we going to have? I don't know, man. Call Frank. No, I call you. You the senior sergeant. So I did. I called Frank. I said, hey, Frank, what's going on? Man, I don't know, Leroy, because, man, I just got here. I said, what does that do with anything else? That ain't really what I said, but that's what I'm saying now. I said, you know what? Y'all do know, in a pinch, where do you go? Walmart. I walked in, I said, can you make me some chicken wing ding trays, please? The lady said, I need five. She said, five? When? In the time it take you to make them? She said, well, I tell you what I can do. She said, I got some stuff that was coming up. She said, I can put that. I said, give me whatever you have. I don't care if it's Siamese, Japanese barbecue, Yung Feng Mu, I don't care. Put it on a tray, put some of the little grapes and cheese on it. I said, can you make me some? She said, sure. We were 15 minutes behind schedule, but I walked in with them trays stacked up. I said, you know, this is how we do it. Then they had nothing. How much we owe you? I said, if you don't get out my face. Anybody, I wanted to be right. Sometimes you sacrifice. So to be right. Oh, they ate up everything, Deacon Walker. They came in. Woo, this how we do it. I started to know this how I do it. But I didn't. I didn't try to make nobody look bad. I stood over in the corner with the boys, and people kept coming in and going around the little trays and getting their little stuff, you know, because I bought utensils and all that stuff. Later in the night, she gave me some stuff. But you can't drop the ball for the sake of not trying to run with it. I could have stood there and pointed fingers and said, no, nah, them Negroes right there were supposed to do it. But I'm in the room. Even if you ain't in charge, you got to care how the thing goes. It's the same call. You can't expect the pastor to do everything. You can't blame the deacons. If you come into an environment and things are not right, you got to say something and do something. This church is going to die. If we don't get involved, work on expanding and evolving our ministries. You all come from all over this city. You've got different playgrounds and different operational areas you can work in. You can't tell me that you don't know nobody that need to know Jesus. Because everybody ain't saved. Go. He said, listen, he said, and verse 20, and you go out to teach people. You can't teach folk what you don't know. You can't tell them of what you have not heard. You cannot engage folk in ignorance and expect that they're going to remain in an ignorant environment. You got to understand. What in the world? You got to understand that there is a moment we all get tested. There's that moment. When he told them to drop them nets back in that water, everybody who really had never dropped a net would have looked at him and said, well, what do you want me to do? There's a moment when we're going to find out what you're working with. There's a moment when we're going to find out that you're ill-equipped to do this. Because if they would have said to him, Lord, we ain't got no nets. Or, Lord, we ain't got no boat. Then he would have said, okay, here's what we'll do. Just like the woman in the Old Testament Bible story, when the man of God says to her, get as many bottles as you can. Go out and get as many as you can. And that's what we got to do. We got to first, we got to equip ourselves. And you have to get what you need. Get what you've been told to go get. He didn't tell them to go get bowls or saucers. He said, get as many. Do what you're told. That's all I'm saying. Do what you're told. God has told you what to do. Do that. Stop flipping and flopping and trying to be creative and say, well, this is what I think. No, do what you're told. Because if you do what you're told, this is an old preacher's understanding. Instead of asking God to bless what we're doing, do what he's already blessing. We waste God's time with all these long prayers about, Lord, if you just do what he's blessing. You know what he's blessing? Kingdom work. Kingdom work will always get blessed. Disciples will always be covered. God will always grant favor. In the areas where favor is already there. Amen. Everybody in the room has to understand that. This work is everybody's work. Now, let's look at what happens. How do you move as an ambitious people, understanding the alliance? Now, God's got our attention. We understand the agenda. We understand the agreement. We understand those things. The level of which we are about to go requires that you love God. Because where you love is where you listen. Think about it. People that you love, you'll listen to them, even if they're wasting your time. Say, Lord, let me just. How many of y'all ever did this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, go. Yeah, I know. Yeah, sure. That's right. I know. Because you love them. That's why you don't listen to telemarketers. You don't love them people. Nope. Soon they call your house, you get an attitude. You look down and say, you know what I'm about to say? Hello? Can I help you? Didn't I tell y'all don't call? And you don't love them people. Amen. That's why you hang up on them. Now, people you love, you might think about hanging up. But you say, you know what? Go ahead. You still there? Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead. Yeah, I know. You're trying. I know you're trying. Yeah, your daddy said that. I know. I understand. Oh, I got a call. Come on. But you love them. And where you love, you listen. But if you don't love God, you ain't going to listen to him. You ain't going to listen to his messenger. You got to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Think about this. That's full engagement. Think about that. Don't raise your hand, but answer me this question. Don't raise your hand, but answer it. How many of you love people like that with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul? You don't have to raise it, but I want you to think about that, because that's love right there. Let me tell you what I know. If you can't love people that you can touch and deal with and see, you ain't going to love God like that. Because you don't see him, see. People, you know, some of us are temperamental or situational or based on attendance. There are people who we love only when we have to see them. But when they ain't there, I don't care about it. How many of you have been surprised? Somebody walk in, you go, oh, hey, oh, my Lord. But you know you don't really love them people. But you situationally love them. Circumstantially, you love them. And when they gone, you say stuff like, I don't know what she came up here for. Come on, talk back to me. don't even know what she's talking. She know we don't get down like that. I don't know what you're calling here for. You know, people call you and say they come to visit. I don't know what they're coming down here for. We ain't like that, but I guess I let them come on. Then they kind of, oh, I'm so glad y'all need to stop that. I'm serious. You are creating an environment that is set to blow up in your face. Because I said this to you before. If somebody ever tells you that they never loved you, or they never this, or they never that, that just might be the truth. Because conflict brings out truth. My aunt said this long years ago, that drunk people speak their sober mind. You really want to know how people feel about you, push them into a conflict. Bring confrontation and the truth will come out. But people who really love you will never stop loving you. They'll tell you how much it hurt and how much it wounded them, but it's still because I love you. So here's what God is saying. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind. That's a criteria. That's a standard for being able to go forth as disciple makers. Because if you don't love people, you're not going to listen to them. You can't lead folk you don't love. You can't lead folk because you'll leave them behind. But when you love folk, you ain't going out without them. That's how people have drowned trying to save their children. People have burned up in a building going back to get folk they love. People have died trying to get a dog or cat because they love them. And some of us read the paper and go, I know that fool did not go back in there and die for a dog. That's how they love their dog. See, y'all ain't talking to me. You only love genuinely or it's not love at all. And part of the reason we won't do this for God because we really don't love him. How many of you have ever done something for somebody just because you love them? And it cost you something. It was a sacrifice. And people talk to you, why would you do that? And I don't understand. And you know you can't explain it to them. Why you let him keep using you like that? Why you let her come in? Our children do it to us. Our brothers do it to us. Our sisters do it to us. And people say to us, you crazy. I wouldn't keep loaning him money. I wouldn't keep letting him drive my car. I wouldn't keep letting him stay in my house. And you just look at him and say, you don't understand. I love him. Ain't that much love in all the world. Don't never let people dampen your love. But let me tell you something. If you can do those things for men who did not die for you, who cannot save you. How many of you have friends who can't do for you half of what you do for them? But you still love them. But you have a God who says, I will supply all your need. And all I want you to do is work with me. Help me with my kingdom. Because when the king eats, so do the subjects. Y'all quiet? Oh, my goodness, I went over my time. Why y'all didn't say something? Y'all had to let me know. I was on a roll there for a minute. Okay, my time is up. We'll talk some more next week. The Lord say the same. Father, we thank you so very much for the time we've shared together. Just a few lesson points, Lord. We're going to dig into the commission until we get it right. And so, God, help us to be patient. Help us, Lord, to be purposeful in our learning. Help us, Lord, to be a people who are committed to being a people. Lord, let these words of life be life for us. Please, God, help us. We are in a dangerous place. Time is winding up. The evening is going to close, and our works will be left undone. Lord, help us to run now again with energy, enthusiasm. Help us to be that ambitious people. Help us, God, to be accountable to the ambitious call that we would go there for. Lord, hear our prayer. And even now, Lord, there are those who may sit among us and frown and groan and roll their eyes and disconnect, but prick their hearts, pin them in a corner, and remind them you are God. And you gave them everything and asked for so little in return. God, call us again. Let us answer our call. We are the chosen generation. We are that peculiar people. We are the elect of God. This work is ours to do. It's not my mama's church. It's not my grandmama's church. This is my season to serve. And Lord, if it doesn't happen on my watch, the next watch will be canceled. For there will be none who will lift up and magnify your name. What shall we say unto these challenges and confrontations, these conflicts? We simply say, if God be for us, that's more than the world against us. We can and will deliver on this commission. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. Let's get ready for church school giving.